Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Thirst is the craving for fluids. And that craving is generally the result of one of two things. Either you're low on fluids and your body is telling you to fill up, or you have too much of something in your system and your body is telling you, flush it out. Once upon a time, I was hiking near Mount Charleston, Nevada, and I mean to tell you, it was hot. At the same time, it was your classic dry heat, so you really don't have the sensation of being that sweaty, so your senses can be a little bit off. But I remember very vividly our first water break that I stopped for. I got out my water bottle, started drinking, and it was like something inside me took over, and I chugged almost the whole thing down all at once. I hadn't even felt that thirsty, but my body was telling me, yeah, you need to drink. So I kept up with frequent water the rest of the way. There's an urgency to physical thirst that's easy to understand in very cool temperatures. You know how long you'll live without taking in any water? About 10 days. Turn the high temperature up to about 100. Now you're talking 5 days max. There is no life without water. Just that simple. Long ago, Jesus said, whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now, Jesus said these words to a woman that he met at the town well. And even though Jesus had asked her for a drink of water, it turns out she was the one with the thirst. And it was a thirst she was having a problem quenching. It was a thirst that she evidently tried to satisfy in relationships. But five husbands later, six if you count the man she was living with, there was something missing. With a track record like that, she's easy to target for ridicule. Let's be careful. But the truth is, if we're being candid, we all have a Nevada desert thirst for something. Our souls are parched. And our own attempts at finding life be pretty desperate. Maybe you can relate to that Samaritan woman and you try to quench your thirst in relationships. Perhaps you crave attention and affection and praise and appreciation. In other words, you love being loved. I mean, who doesn't? You'll go to great lengths to get that feeling. The thing is, people have a way of disappointing you. They don't appreciate you as much as you might like. They don't love you the way you wish they would. You try one relationship after another, hoping this next one will hit the spot. You're still thirsty. Or maybe you try to quench your thirst with achievement by striving for success. You believe you can fill yourself up, so you work hard, you work long, you become successful, you hit every goal you hit and set for yourself. And you enjoy the fruit of your labor. It's good fruit. When it's just you and the silence of your room, there's an itch that you just can't scratch. Something's gnawing at you. It's a thirst that your talent and your striving just can't seem to touch. Or maybe I try to quench my thirst by getting stuff, just a little bit nicer car or a little bit bigger house, maybe just a few more toys. Maybe the next wave computerized gadget is going to be the one that finally does everything I want it to. Sure, I've got dumpsters full of stuff that I thought would work. But maybe this next one will be the one, and I'll finally be fulfilled. The commercial said. And maybe you've even tried to quench your thirst by turning to religion. And when I say religion, I mean the religion invented by human beings that works like this. If I do something for God, then He'll be obligated to do something for me. Religion that says that if I get serious about God, if I start going to church, maybe bad things will stop happening to me so much. Religion that says, God, just get me out of this predicament. I'll do whatever you ask. I promise. But then the God of that religion doesn't get you out of it. Doesn't answer the prayer the way you wanted him to. I mean, you did what you were supposed to do. You sat in the pew. You maybe even put a few dollars in the collection plate, but the thirst is still there. And you wonder, what more am I supposed to do? I don't think I can say it any clearer than this. Your soul thirst will never go away until you drink deeply of Jesus. He is the source from which you must draw if you finally want to be quenched and healthy and whole. Now, that's beautiful poetic language, right? All this talk of water and thirst and so forth. But what's it really talking about? What does it mean? It means that you receive Jesus on His terms. As Jesus told the Samaritan woman by the well that day, He is no one less than the Messiah, the promised one that God said He would send, the Messiah who came to wage war against evil, to save sinners from the hellish consequences of their sins. He came to suffer and die on a cross, to rise from the grave, and by doing all of those things, dig a well that would be filled with forgiveness, grace, new beginnings. So to drink deeply of Jesus is first to humble yourself and admit all the bad places your thirst has taken you to. And finally, to drink from the well of His mercy, to guzzle the fresh water of forgiveness like there's no tomorrow, because life with Him depends on it. There's no life without water. And Jesus pours it out. He pours it out extravagantly with great generosity. He's pouring it out from His baptismal font. Jesus pours Himself into us at His Holy Supper when we come to this table here. And every word that you receive from Jesus takes your dehydrated heart and saturates it like a sponge to overflow with grace. Jesus has bucketful after bucketful of living water to pour out for you if only you hold out your cup in faith and let Him pour. And when you do, you'll see your thirst for relationship quenched in brotherhood with your Savior and Lord. You'll see your thirst for success and accomplishment quenched in Jesus' victory, His win, His rising from death. Your thirst for getting stuff will be quenched with contentment and thankfulness for the gifts He's given you. A thirst for escape from the problems of life will be quenched by a confident embrace of reality in which Jesus is really there for you moment by moment. A thirst for a religion that works will be quenched by a person. Person who loves you, person who sacrificed everything for you and will never leave you. The Samaritan woman taught us a prayer that day out there by the well. Sir, give me this water. May that be your prayer and mine for this day and everyone that follows. So let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we know through the teaching of your Son that we are possessed of many thirsts. We thirst for so many things, Lord. We want to essentially justify ourselves, that none of the things that we turn to apart from you ever work. They pass away, they turn to dust, they never satisfy. Only your eternal good, self-giving news lasts forever. That's what you offer us, Lord Jesus. That's the living water. Forgiveness, life, and salvation given to us as pure gift. Jesus, give us this water. Let us satisfy our souls and show us how to lead other people to its source, to you. Amen.